Focus. Pocus. Melissa James as your hostess. Focus. Pocus. CCE produced this. Focus. Pocus. And we doing the mostest. Focus. Pocus. And we got special guests in the lab. And we might do a collab. And I think this is off the top. Cause it sounds like it's a bop. Ayy. Oh. I rate it cause it's me. I rate it cause it's me. Okay. Okay. Alright. Alright. That's it. Let's get started with this podcast that we're gonna do pretty often. Alright. You can cut the music now. All right, guys, welcome back to Focus Pocus Podcast by Connect Create Explore, my favorite website, www.connectcreateexplore.com. All right, so this is episode 2. And so, as you know, I love to have guests on my show. I love to have co-hosts because, you know, I could talk a lot, but I'd rather talk with someone. And today's someone is, how do I even introduce her? Oh my God. Okay, so she is none other than the one and only ride or die for life, Rough Rider. Okay, best friend, Shauna.
I'm in the house.
Yeah, she is. And she hasn't been here for a long time. So welcome back. Welcome.
Thanks for having me. Wow.
Yeah, Shauna. Nice. I know, right? And this is also Shauna's first time on a podcast.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Bear with me here.
You'll be good. I got you. And honestly, for everyone who knows me, you might be featured on this podcast. So it's going to be your first time too. All right. So let's start. Our topic for today, being something I think is super important, we are going to, sorry guys, just trying to unlock this phone of mine. So today we're talking about overthinking and mental health. Particularly, am I thinking again? And that's the question I ask myself every time I spiral into overthinking over and over again.
Do you really?
Yeah, yo. Oh. Like, I'm trying to cut myself off from just thinking too much.
Okay.
Because you know the anxiety that it creates?
Oh, yeah.
Where you're like...
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
So then that's your, like, safe statement, I guess. You just
you
say,
know what?
Like...
It kind of is.
I'm thinking... am I thinking again?
Is yeah. That it? Okay, so...
It sounds a little... weird. I mean, you are always thinking. So you're saying, am I overthinking again?
So okay. I'll explain how that even came about. So I drive, like when I drive to work, I always set my intention, especially early in the mornings, I'll set my intention. Think about what I want for the day. And then sometimes if I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm worried about something specific, okay, I start thinking about it and then I think more about it. And then it's like, so for example, I'll be like, okay, wait, did I make enough cheese? Did I make enough cheese? Yeah, you're fine. And then I'm hearing myself like, okay, I made enough cheese, but I'm fine. But it's okay. And then you start going into that negative spiral where then it's like, okay, so if I didn't make enough cheese, then what's going to happen? Then people won't have cheese and then I'm going to sell out.
Okay.
And I won't have enough to give people, or I won't make enough money to pay my bill. And so it's like weird.
Yeah.
And so you know what I mean?
It gets too negative.
Too negative.
And it goes too far.
Exactly.
From simple question.
Exactly. And right?
Yeah.
So then that's when I'm like, I'm thinking too much right now.
Okay.
I'm thinking again.
That's good. And then, does it calm you?
It has, because now I'm pointing out what's happening.
Right.
And you know how, like, they say, in order
mindfulness. Mindful. Sorry. You're being mindful.
But yeah, exactly.
Right.
And so I know it's helping. And then one day, I guess I'll get so good I don't have to say it. Because
okay,
I'll know not to, I don't need to spiral into a place I don't need to. So yeah, mindfulness, yeah. I guess.
That's
thanks.
So good.
You don't see this why we chat, because, you know, you... You're my therapist. But yeah, so that's why I'm thinking again has become a thing. Can you explain or share with people the last time. So guys, I just want to give you a heads up. The lights just turned off on me and Shauna, so it obviously looked really creepy, but it's because Sheldon left the house and because we have Google Home.
Oh yeah, he's all connected.
Yeah, because he has Google Home, it changes everything here.
He's gonna have a
don't worry, I'll chop this up.
Okay.
Blow your nose, bro.
I didn't hear it.
Blow your nose.
Well, I'm just stuffy. Nothing.
Misa. Oh. Did he just turn it back on? Did he come
Sorry,
back?
Are you connected? Well, he can never scare you now. That's why you did it.
Nope.
You guys used to scare each other all the time. Now you'll be like, lights off. Sheldon left. Lights on. Sheldon's there. Before you even see him.
That's actual facts. Anyways. All right. Okay. Getting right back into it. So I would like to ask you, so has there been a time recently that you feel like you spiraled in a similar way or maybe in a better way? And how do you curb that?
Okay. Actually, yes. About the work.
Mm-hmm.
I started like getting down on myself because I'm in a position at work that I know I'm not attached to any one school, but I really like the staff and this school. And so the reality of this possibly being my last year there, like, hit me. It was just news. Wasn't new. Like, I always knew that reality was there. But I started thinking so many horrible things. I'm like, oh, you really know what you want for your life? What have you to show for it? Like, oh, and now you have to go through all of this again and just be going through a transition that makes you sad. And like, I was mad at myself because I had that emotion like around the reality of leaving a school I like. And it just went so negative rather than just saying, okay, you know what it was. This is like the time and it's finally coming. Figure it out as you go. I have months before I even have to face this decision. But yet it was like I contemplated the whole year, all of my plans. I just went so far with one thing around work about everything in my life.
Oh, yes.
And it's not positive. So I was just like, okay, you need to relax. I didn't have a statement, but it was like, whoa, not right now. Don't worry about that right now. And that has worked for me in the past. Things creep up on me fast, but it's because I decide to focus more on the present and things like that. And my mind, when I overthink, goes really far.
Yeah. You're starting to plan like the future.
Yeah.
And the future hasn't even happened. The next month hasn't even happened.
At all.
Yeah. And that's it. Like, overthinking will get you into that space where you're not even goal setting. You're not visioning. Mm-hmm. You're just trying to tell the future without any positive intention in it.
Right. And it's like, off of what? You don't really know, like, why, what is worrying or thinking that far going to do? You deal with things as they come. Like, in a way, there are things you can plan for, but you know what I mean?
That's true. No, it's absolutely true. Wow. Look at overthinking us. We're smart.
I mean, you get to a point where it just doesn't benefit you. So you learn to have a moment of like, deep breath, way too many thoughts. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I feel like the older I've gotten, the worse it's become. Even though you would think as a teenager is when you would overthink the most. But I don't know if it's, does it actually get worse?
The question is... I guess people can debate this, is that, is overthinking bad? Because we're coming from a point of view that it's bad, right?
Yeah,
I'm assuming. And so people are like, well, it's good to think. It's good to, do you know what I mean? Like, so there's the other side of it. And I don't know. I think adults overthink the most.
True.
I do. Because it is important to think. And we have so many more responsibilities. True. Your mind is probably on, always on something and never really relaxed.
Yeah. I know that happens to me all
but
the time.
Some people would say thinking is good, but that's the fine line of when do you overthink and it becomes unhealthy.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I think sometimes I forget adulting doesn't mean overthinking or
that's
worry.
True. That's true.
But I sometimes equate it to that because when you overthink or even just thinking, and it's on the border of overthink, but you just think it's just thinking. I'm thinking about, I have to pay this bill. I have to make sure I have gas in my car. I have to get to work at this time. I have to make sure I have to do this. I have to do the laundry. I also have to clean. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, you're thinking about all these things, assuming it's adulting, but really you don't need to think about that at the moment.
But is thinking about your list overthinking? I don't view it as that, personally.
So, but where do you draw that border? Right. Is it, do you draw that, like, or where's that line? Is it when your list is only, like, 5 tasks? Or is it because your list is 25,000 tasks that you just happen to think of? Is it because of how many things you put in your mind that it's overthinking?
Yeah, and then you kind of go back to the drawing board of maybe your to-do list is too long for how many hours you have, right?
Legit. Yeah.
I've always realized 24 hours, like,
so fast.
It sounds like a lot, but so many things happen. You're minusing at least 8 hours if you sleep good of sleep, and then.
And that's it. Okay.
Like, so, where do you get a to-do list? Especially if you work full-time. You don't. That's not your time.
No, and so this is it. You forget that there's time in transit that you'll never have to be able to do something.
To do things, yeah.
But. And I feel like even trying to be productive in that time is also against you because you also want to debrief from work in the first place or debrief from wherever you were. So it's like you want to utilize this 24 hours, but at the same time, I need a break.
Yeah, we're human.
Yeah. Like, and then the worst part, you overthink that break.
Oh, I know. Like, I hate when I say, okay, now I do have moments, mindful moments where I'm like, no, you said you were going to put on your show. That's 40 minutes of like a brainless moment, just unwind and then get to like your chores or whatever it is. So you're still productive. But in that 40 minutes, it's like I'm pausing, I'm rewinding all because my mind just won't focus on just that. Taking a minute to relax. Yeah.
Yo, that's real. Like,
so it takes up time. Oh, and before you know it, you're like, oh, I have to go to bed. And I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I didn't even get to relax. And it's like,
okay, that's so real. Yo, that. Okay. No, this is a real moment, y'all. This is a for real moment. Literally, I can tell you, last night, Sheldon put on this movie, Atlantis. Have you seen that? It's a cartoon.
Atlantis? No.
Okay, so it's about these explorers who are trying to find the city of Atlantis. And they found this thing following their way. Really interesting storyline because it's something I'm curious about. Like, did this exist? And I love what they were doing with it. But I also found myself like, I'm not focused.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to figure out what do I still need to do for that day.
Yeah.
And but I'm like, but I really want to watch this. And then I also thought about this. So with Sheldon, another funny thing, I'm like, I don't feel like we're always spending time together. But it's because now I can't focus on just being in the moment.
Oh.
Yeah. Because now I want to see if I missed anything on Instagram. But I also want to think about all the other things I have to do. So instead of really focusing on the fact that, oh, we're spending time, I'm now like, but what about? And it's like, you can't watch the movie. You can't watch a show. You can't even enjoy your moment with people. Because you're thinking constantly.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, the brain.
So would you say overthinking takes away from you living in the present?
100%. Yeah. What do you think?
I agree. Absolutely, right? If we can't even find a minute to just focus on something for right now because of your thoughts, you're definitely not living in the moment.
So then is overthinking a mental health issue?
Here's where I think it becomes... For me, like I stated earlier, I started to get hard on myself. I started to be negative once my thoughts became obsessive. Mm. And I guess it depends on where your mind goes. Is it in a positive thought or whatever? But either way, I think too much thinking can be negative, personally, to your mental health.
For sure.
And does kind of waste time in your life. Mm. It does. That's what I think. Do you think it could be positive? I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Overthinking, I guess overthinking in general, the connotation of overthinking just comes across negative. I do think generally it goes negative because it usually builds into an anxiety about your present moment or an anxiety that you're not doing enough or that your plans won't work.
You worry.
Or that something's not going to come together.
Yeah.
Rather than, and I think that's the difference between overthinking and visioning. Visioning, you're creating a better future without getting stuck in that. You're not so much worried about this moment anymore because you have the vision and you know this dream or this thing's going to come true. But with overthinking, you're actually trying to create the future out of what you're not doing or out of the negative situation. So I think generally it's always going to be overthinking should be mental health. It should be something like a mental health issue, because it's always creating something worse than better. And it's not bringing you into a positive space either. Not that you always have to be positive and happy, whatever, but it's not bringing you peace. I think that's the bottom line.
I feel like anxiety is kind of another way of and saying leans, overthinking. And exactly, anxiety is in the mind, right?
So, but are they different? Because what really makes anxiety different?
I guess the physical characteristics that anxiety has, like you know, panic attacks, mm-hmm. things like that, like literal fear that will paralyze you. Like, say if you have anxiety about flying, you will literally not get on a plane. Mm-hmm. Whereas overthinking is not so, I guess it's more, I don't know, it's more in the mind.
This is crazy.
But then anxiety is, it starts in the mind, but it's powerful enough to literally paralyze mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. from going on any vacation or something like that, because you won't get on a plane because of whatever fear, which is mind thing. Right?
Yeah, I know. That's a great point too, because then does it have to show physical symptoms for it to be mental health? Because now isn't that more of a physical ailment versus it being mental health? Not to say anxiety isn't mental health, but why are we waiting for a mental health issue to show its presence in our physical like physical signs? Because then I think that's why people associate right, it's like how people associate crazy with mental health, but they don't associate a lot of other things like anxiety or depression, because it looks somewhat normal. Whereas when we see crazy or we think crazy, we're like, the person's gonna act crazy,
right? There's a lot of physical stuff linked to all the labels, like depression, can't get out of bed. Like, for every mental health issue, there's a physical component.
Yeah,
of like,
or they try to make a physical component.
The person can tell you what their mind is doing and how bad it is, mm-hmm. but it's like, you don't really believe it or think it's as intense until you see the severity on the outside. She has been saying she's been feeling really down, but now she hasn't got out of bed for 3 days, so I believe her now. You know, it's like a pain. I could tell you my finger hurts, you'll be like, oh, I hope you feel better, or like, but you can only care so much, because so you maybe I'm not in that much pain on the outside, I'm just, my finger hurts, you know, and like, you don't feel the pain, so you won't understand it to that level. If I was bleeding or if it was chopped off, you could look at it and be like, oh, that must hurt.
Oh, like, she needs to be
like,
or
that's
she
bad.
Needs time. Like,
but it's, we all about what we can see, I think is what it is.
Which
and
is
that's the hard battle people with mental health issues that may not be physical, unfortunately, have to go through on their own.
Absolutely.
Sometimes.
So, and I know you've gone through a depression and I've gone through a depression. And the interesting thing about it was, you notice something's different, but you don't necessarily know what, only because we were close, we knew something was off, or something was going on. But with most people around us, they didn't know we were either depressed.
I know.
And it's been, right?
Yeah.
So that goes back to waiting for physical symptoms of depression before people could legitimize what we were really dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a stigma that's continuing to hinder this whole mental health movement and actually being able to work on it and bring it out and allow people to realize, let's deal with it. Because then we're saying we have to wait for you to be the worst case before we make something better.
Yeah, I mean, Odane was saying the other day he doesn't really agree with people in court getting away with insanity pleas or things like that. He's like, that's, to him, that's crazy. And it's like, I didn't agree. I'm like, if you have mental health, your mind is going to make choices that, you know what I mean? Like, are just not, I don't know, aren't going to work. And I think there is a buildup to those moments. There's a lady in Toronto who stabbed someone and she doesn't know the lady. That's complete insanity that she got. And to me, it's like, there had to have been a buildup to that. That she probably has a history that, unfortunately, it's on the outside that someone can see something was off, even if she can't say it. But I always, I don't think it comes out of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing with when things are in the mind, right? Like, it really builds up and it can get worse. And
and that's, you know, you're speaking about the fact that as a system, we need to do better.
Yeah.
Because we're not creating the supports when we don't see the physical symptoms. We're creating the supports as a reaction to seeing these physical issues manifest, or the mental issue manifest physically. And it's like, Yeah, she
and that's the
is,
stigma. Exactly. Like you said, if you're not crazy, and it's like, what does that even mean? Yeah. Am I crazy because I can openly and proudly say I had depression?
Yeah.
Or you know what I mean?
And it because was like, we just admitted, yeah. like, we're overthinking.
Yeah.
Does that now make us crazy?
Right.
But it's like, it's good.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah.
So that's, and that's unbelievable. Like, that's wild, yo.
Where it's a societal thing because even as we can understand that and yet I think we have our own moments unconsciously of judgment or absolutely. Just whatever and it's like mental health is such a sensitive topic it
because,
really is
and remember we're like looking at people differently than they appear to be so imagine someone looking at you and it's like oh your eyebrows really don't look good but I'm not saying that out loud. Like, so it's like, I feel like something's wrong because your eyebrows are off. But
yeah.
in actuality, like, she's really going through something or she's not going through something. I can't tell. But I feel just because your eyebrows, I think you're going through something.
Something. Yeah. Oh, gosh. That's so
funny. But like, it's stupid. But anyways, the bottom line, just going back to mental health, overthinking. We do need to do better when it comes to making sure people are supported prior to getting to depression or prior to showing physical symptoms of these things. Because even going back to the depression piece, I feel like most people who saw me were like, oh, she's cool. Like, she's fine. She's living her life. She's doing this.
Yeah.
She's trying new things. But it's like I was still depressed in that period. Mm-hmm. So people wouldn't have taken seriously if I came out of the blue and been like, I'm depressed.
Right. Yeah.
And that will actually bring us to Instagram, because I think we've seen this with different celebrities where they finally go into an interview and they talk about how dark certain moments in their life was.
Right.
And I mean, I think like even last week, me and Sheldon spoke about what's her name? Kylie's old best friend, sadly. Justine Skye and her coming out about Sheck West abusing her. People think it's out of nowhere because it was like she didn't mention it before, but were you waiting for her to show physical symptoms before you believed her?
Oh, okay. Sorry, I'm not familiar with her story, but I do know her and I like her. And that's brave of her, because as an artist, like, she's known, but she can be on a bigger scale. I think as an artist to come out with that, the sad thing is you can lose followers from that. You can lose sympathy and support of people from such a sensitive coming forward. But
because society is so focused on the physical,
right.
we're not willing to accept.
She might even be called a liar just because, like, you didn't look beat up, girl. You looked beautiful.
And we're waiting for those things. So we're waiting for that with mental health before we take
that
it
word,
seriously.
Crazy.
Yeah. Really?
It's slang. Right? But that's, again, a societal thing. I will say we do need to do better with mental health. I agree, right? But we have come far compared to 10 years ago. Even 20 years ago, I know when I was in high school, I wouldn't feel as confident saying I have depressive thoughts or I have depressive feelings as I do now. Yeah. And I just think that the conversation is open more out there. There is still a stigma around certain mental health. But what do you think about the recent efforts like Belle? I'm interviewing you, girl.
I know.
Yeah, like, this is my podcast. No, my guest, Melissa.
You're definitely
I have a lot
not.
Of questions for
okay,
you.
Fine.
This is how we really talk. You know,
God,
I think Melissa is an intellectual woman when she's not making noises like that.
Okay.
No, but this is how we are, right? Like, we ask each other questions naturally. So I'm just going to ask you, with the Bell Mental Health, let's talk and things like that, right? It gets media coverage like crazy. CB24, people are texting.
It does.
A lot more people are coming forward with all kinds of mental health issues openly. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that?
I think it's important. So I'll say two things. I've heard from people that it's a lie because they don't treat their employees that way.
Bell?
Yeah. But then on the other hand, I think it's important for people to talk about these issues. I think what Belle did well is raise awareness that it's something we do need to talk about. Cool. On that level, great job. But what I really look for, if someone's trying to prove that they're doing something good, or and I'm not the judge of everyone, but I am going to assess whether I need to invest in what you're doing, if it's genuine or not. You know what I mean? So for Belle, I think it's probably started from a great place. There was someone who really needed to show or bring this to the forefront. Okay. But at the end of the day, if you still don't treat your employees with that same level of respect in right. the sense that they have mental health issues and you won't give them time, or you're not doing anything to truly change the work environment besides provide support if you have mental health, you're not truly invested in improving mental health.
Yeah, considering you have a whole campaign about it, it then looks like what you're saying, I think, yeah. is it then looks like this is all for media attention. This is good for us now, because at the end of the day, you're putting our name out there and you pay to use our services.
Exactly. And okay. now people are looking at us as a company who's conscious.
Right.
Whereas, are you really conscious? No. Mm-hmm. And I think we're seeing that with a lot of different companies who are not truly conscious, because the way they treat the people around them, their employees, has nothing to do with the things they're telling everybody else. So Belle would need to step it up by changing the way their business place works. You don't have to have a 40-hour work week. You can employ better breaks. You can employ better timing. You could strategize with employees how to make working for Belle and living truly balanced.
Because there's more to life than really giving almost everything you have to a job. And to a company.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think when companies start seeing that, people have to be respected as more than just an employee, as humans, then I'll believe most of their initiatives that are supposed to be conscious. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen that with any company, truly.
Yeah, I know we're using Belle a lot, but in general, just
in most places we've worked,
yeah.
Like, we both work for the school board. So that place talks a lot about movement. It talks a lot about trying to do better, or forcing kids to be mindful, making kids be thoughtful, you know, get physical, do physical activity, you know, take breaks, you know, when you're studying for your mental health. And like, mm-hmm. yeah, let's do all these great things. Rah, rah. Racism, no. Equity, yes. And it's so opposite. Mm-hmm. So I'll keep on that track.
On behalf of all the higher ups of TDSB, refer to your local school supervisor.
Word.
Board, no answers for you.
Yeah, facts.
You know?
So, again, they're talking the talk, but they don't walk the walk. And, like, how can we truly make change if you don't even want to change your practices? And to me, it's not a good enough excuse for any of these companies to be like, we're such a large company, it's hard to do these things. Mm-hmm. That's a good excuse temporarily, but you can't be working on initiative for 10 years and still be like, it's hard to do, when you have people blatantly not following your new practices of equity and mental health and paying attention to people and these sort of things. And you're not doing anything to say, listen, you need support, because this is an issue. We don't necessarily need to fire you, but there has to be an action that's taken so that you realize what you're doing goes against where we're trying to go as a company. And that's to improve the way people look at mental health. And that's to improve the way people practice equity. We can't just talk.
Yeah, otherwise. Recently, or just a few months ago, my mom said, like, there's this pilot program that they're doing. So if certain
always
amount
a
of
pilot.
Late. So for example, if you're late three times, or if you have three, I guess, outside of your sick days, they want to have a one-on-one interview to check in with what's going on in your life, what's making you so late, just because they feel like people have a lot going on. I guess they just want to communicate, whatever. A lot of the employees, unfortunately, it sounds great, but they feel like it's a setup. Mm-hmm. Like, right? They feel like it's a setup. You guys are trying to clean house. And in this interview, you can figure out why you want to get rid of me, if that makes sense, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so it's kind of like, if I open up to you about my experience, I'm a single mother and I'm late all the time because I'm going through childcare issues, whatever it is, are you really going to do something to help me and my situation
Word.
Specifically so that I can be better for the job?
Yeah.
Or are you guys really trying to look like, oh, she's weak, let's get in the next person who will, you know, break their neck
True.
To be a perfect employee?
True.
And I can understand why they kind of feel suspect
Absolutely.
About
and
it.
That was
Absolutely.
One of my, when you said that, my first thought was, okay, So they're going to do this. Is it going to be a conversation that will help them support? Or is it going to be a combination where they're going to be able to get supports for this person?
That's the thing. How beautiful would it be if it were to that. For that?
Versus like, let's just have this interview. Right. So why were you late? Oh, well, it's been really hard
on me.
They're
just going to put it on the paper.
My parents are whatever, and this is what's happening. Okay, cool. 2 weeks later, you were late again. Mm-hmm. Okay, now you're fired. Mm-hmm. Then what was the point
based
of the conversation?
Based on the interview, you're... situation is not a good enough reason to be late that many times.
Do you remember? Well, I remember in university, I found out Troy cheated on me, and he had just went to jail and all that sort of stuff.
What kind of story? He was busy, huh?
Right? Word. 18-year-olds, what do you Ross? Anyways, bonum! So
sorry.
I remember, like, cutting you off. Okay, so yeah, at that point. I was devastated. Cool. I also had exams at this time. And I went to the guys. Shauna's really being Shauna.
Y'all can't see me. Y'all can't see me.
No,
go ahead.
Can't. But if you guys do see her, you'll be like, ooh, wagwan. So back to the topic, or a little bit off topic as we talk about my ex-boyfriend. So... who cheated, and because he's a dog, but yeah, and then
spell his name
last name, but yeah, so just remembering that time that they wouldn't allow me to say I wasn't fit to write my exam because of this breakup, because they said the only reason you wouldn't be fit to write an exam is a doctor's note or like a death in the family.
This is a real life
but the thing is being devastated to the point where like all you did was cry for like 5 days. It may sound like just
not
a breakup,
enough for them. It's not enough.
But
for
it's
them.
Like no. But at this age, this is everything to me.
No, I know. But you're these.
And I'm
don't
not misusing this. It's really everything to me.
I know.
So it's like it sucks.
So mental health and you know your mental state is really your own, and that's where society has to get that understanding, I guess.
Exactly.
And
so
figure
that
out an approach that respects everyone else. Own so, personal situation.
Exactly. So say I met with someone at that point and they're like, wow, we understand. We would like to accommodate you. And when you're like, we're going to give you this time maybe, and then you'll write your exam afterwards. I'm not saying gave me all year long. Right. Nothing like that. I'm just saying I need some time.
Do you think liars ruin it though for the people who are really going through something?
There will always be people who are untrue because a lot of people can't be true with themselves. So there will always be that group of people who will abuse.
Yeah. Privilege. I know for a fact with the whole pilot program, my mom has told me, not her personally for the record, but she's told me like something a friend told her and they shared a laugh, but it's like you've now resorted to lying just to save your job and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're probably a great employee. It's just like...
just be honest. And I
some
think,
of us just can't get somewhere on time. Okay.
And like, I think... and I feel like...
but when you're there, you're awesome. Right? You just can't get there on time.
I wish that was a real talk that we could have. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I just can't get to work on time. I'm not going to lie to you.
Together some mornings. I'm telling you. But when I'm there, I'm giving my all. But excuse the first 5 minutes that I can't seem to shake off my transit time.
Can we work together?
Yeah.
Like, can I have a grace period? Or can we schedule my shift later? Can we... you know what
something
I mean? Like stuff like
compassion.
That means that you're having compassion for your employees. You care about those employees and compassion.
It should be
like,
in the guidelines.
Good.
What you're saying should be in the guidelines.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you have great supervisors and managers who they didn't create the company. They'll be like, you know, you need another day, Melissa. Or you could go home early. You had a devastating breakup. You know what I mean? From however they sympathize with you. But it needs to get down to where this is a company practice. Mm-hmm. Like, no matter who you are at the core, if you're managerial position and someone comes to you with this, you could get in trouble for not, like, respecting that they need time or whatever, you know?
Absolutely.
Like,
and
hardcore
again,
guidelines.
Right? There's a few, very few companies who actually operate that way. But sadly, the majority of the ones that don't work like that are big institutions.
I think we have Mental Health Day, like, which is a personal, you don't get, you get paid for it or something like that. And the board, I think it would be great if everywhere incorporated a Mental Health Day. You'll have people who don't need it that will use it. You know what I mean? People that will lie to use it. People who are
it doesn't
definitely
matter,
in need of it, and it's good for them. But I think that's probably a start.
Yeah,
in reparation in terms of respecting our mental health.
Word.
Somewhere. Reparations. The government. That's a government thing. Word. No matter what your job is.
There has to be some sort of reparations for damaging our mental health for ages.
Yeah, just we've been to, like, in survive. School for years.
Just to survive.
Learning how to become employees, and then we're not even cared about as employees in the adulting world.
So then,
and then we're naturally overthinkers in the adulting world.
Well,
it's
this
like,
is it. Cause
how
we
do
never,
you live?
So it's funny, and that's probably a big reason why we overthink in the first place. Because we were told for ages and ages, work your ass off, like, work hard just to become an employee, because then you'll have the money to do what anyone can do. You get there and your boss is a complete, like, asshole or whatever, and maybe not your boss, but the environment is just toxic. So imagine you working your entire life to get here, only to realize you're in the most toxic situation you've ever been in your whole life. So then why is it okay for us to be there? And, like, why do you think mental health wouldn't be a problem at this point? Yeah. Why wouldn't we overthink all these things?
Because at 18, you're asked to figure out what it is that you... No one's saying you can't quit, but you're spending thousands of dollars. You're creating this hope in your mind that this is where your future is like, this is what your future will be. And like, you don't know anything about it other than, hey, you have to make a choice. And then you go for it in college and you drop out. And that's where you really start overthinking, because it's like, whoa, I thought this is how it's supposed to be done.
Maybe,
reality
really
being a human kicks
this.
In and you're like, oh, maybe I don't want to be a teacher. Like,
and then now you're
it
like,
sounded
really
good.
Thinking.
Now I'm in the real world.
Yep.
I don't know. There's something about that age group of when you graduate high school, I think that needs to be done in the government. I'm just sitting here just saying, hey, government, do this or that. I don't have all the ideas, but do you know what I mean? Like, those are the areas I think that are delicate, and if we worked around that, right?
Yeah.
Just giving a day to everyone, no matter what job, just figuring out how to handle the graduates of high school and really preparing them that, and not pressuring them that they have to know what to do with their whole lives, or that they're gonna waste money if they don't, because that's actually the reality.
And that's what's happening.
Yes.
From grade 10, we start telling you that you have to go in a certain direction when you haven't even learned what it's like to live. And so,
yeah,
because in high school, elementary, you're in a bubble, you don't really know what life is about. But we don't actually have support for the people after they get out of high school or get out of university and college to be like, there's a period of maturity you need to experience now.
Absolutely.
Instead of just like, all right, we're throwing you off the cliff and learn how to fly. And it's like, but I don't have wings.
Yeah.
Or no one showed me.
Your biggest problem was your dad didn't get you the newest pair of Jordans, and now you're not going to be cool at school.
Yeah.
Or like, that boy doesn't like you and you're absolutely devastated. And like, those are your biggest problems, jumping right into being an adult with all these expectations on you.
So now you jump into adult life.
Yep.
With the idea you need to get married, have a good job, have a baby, and have a home. All the things that are the hardest to afford in society currently. Because they do, sadly, require money to actually survive.
And the number one thing is, hey, then to get that money, you must work. And then that's where we go right back into the cycle of everything we said.
Yeah.
So now here's this fragile mental health person already thrown into everything you just said and right back into the work field that doesn't even care about that aspect at all,
not even thinking about it.
And then mind you, that whole life, that whole list of life that you said is now into play on this. So you're not only working and like losing yourself for this company, you have your own kids now, you have your bills to pay, so you have that pressure of staying unhappy if you are, right?
Just to
it's
be
such
able
a cycle.
To help your family live.
Yeah, and then you're going to have that moment we've all had of, whoa, I thought I did everything right. Why don't I feel better about this? Or why am I struggling yet everyone tells me I get good pay.
So that's...
Yeah, I might, but...
But...
Yeah.
There's more to this. Yeah, than like,
so much more.
So much more to life than just thinking you do all these steps and it's going to pay off. Mm. Because that's not life. And that's not even real. It's like they created a very fake structure that got us to believe in it only to remind you it wasn't real in the first place. And imagine all the people dealing with mental health now because what they've been taught was real was a complete lie. That's what then makes people crazy. And that's the stuff that builds up inside your mind before it gets physical. And they're still waiting, even worse. They're going to be like, what's in your mind is not enough. So we're gonna wait for you to hurt someone and or maybe yourself before we give you some support. So show up when you hurt yourself mm-hmm. and we'll be okay. Mm-hmm. And then they wonder why some people do it for attention and why others actually follow through and do these things.
So such a system.
It's just crazy. Yo.
Sounds like somewhere else.
But anyways, I know we got deep in that topic. Mm-hmm. Felt that in my soul. But again, me and Shauna have like been through life and saw, we went through those key moments of being a child to becoming a real adult. Oh, man. Okay, for real adults.
We're still here, sister. We're
we
still
made
here.
It. We made it. So this is why, like, we want to talk about stuff like this because I can guarantee you're not alone in this whole process, and we can almost guarantee we're not the only ones who have been through this or are going through it. And there's so many young people who are gonna grow up, and why not help them through this process by sharing our experience or showing them that, listen, there's more preparation that needs to take place before you get to where we are to help you thrive versus just struggling through it the way we all have to do it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to make life a struggle. But yes, there will be trying times and it will help us. But when you're so unprepared for life, most of it feels like a real struggle.
And my, okay, so we go on this route. My inspiring quote of the day is, you are
enough.
This isn't
Jerry Springer, and you don't got to find a word.
Okay, go. You are enough, and you are worthy of a good life. You know, I think affirmations are awesome. I think everyone needs, because then you can make them personal to you or whatever, you know.
Yeah, no, true. Yeah. I rate it because it's her. I rate it because it's her.
It's me.
I rate it because it's her. Okay,
it's me.
So
is this a song?
Actually, it's the intro. You didn't song? Listen to it yet, but don't will we.
Okay.
It's okay.
Okay.
Oh, so
we're going
we're
on
gonna
Insta?
Go on Instagram. I know. Okay. So me and Shauna love coming on to the Instagram.
Stop beating me out.
And that's because it's just so fun.
No, I don't. It's all right.
So here's what we're gonna be doing when we go on Instagram. So we had a little thought bubble that popped in and reminded us of this interesting group of, I don't know what to call them. This interesting group of women, people.
Wait, where are we? Okay, I wonder where we're going with this topic and these ladies.
You will soon see. So we remember this interesting group of women by the name of Taz's Angels. And so they were a page that showed you naked women very early on Instagram. They were also a page that, you know, they were supposed to essentially have the perfect bodies. And that's what you'd see. Do you find Instagram like makes you insecure or worry about your body and what you look like? Or do you find it just goes over your head?
I don't think it makes me hate my body, but it does make me, like, you know, just from liking another woman's body or saying, like, that's a perfect body, it then makes me realize that I'm kind of putting myself down and saying that I don't have a body like that. Even though I like my body and I'm happy with my mm-hmm. curves and all that stuff, I can still see another beautiful woman with curves on Insta and be like, whoa, her body's nice. And it's kind of an I hate to myself. but I don't feel like I have to look like anyone.
True.
Right. I don't know how to describe it. I don't feel like I have to look like anyone, but when I see a really nice body, it's kind of like, oh, damn. Wish my legs were a little bit tighter that, you know?
You kind of get on.
You kind of have a moment.
You start thinking about yourself for a moment. Even if it's just a moment, you start reflecting on whether your body is at where it could be or even remotely close to something else that you see that looks like.
I more so think like these women are brave to, I'll do these poses in the mirror or whatever and I'm comfortable, but I don't feel comfortable maybe taking a picture and posting it.
Yeah.
You know, and showing certain things, if that makes sense. I don't know. So,
yeah.
That's one thing I've never been jealous of. I'm okay.
Yeah. No, it's true. I don't think, for me, I don't think I really get jealous.
Yeah.
As much as I'm just like, I just want to see a real body. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or like, I want there to be more options of real bodies. I want there to be more fairness in what they expose people like to. Because we're only seeing one type. We're only seeing one version of what a perfect body looks like. And 90% of us don't look like that.
I want a good balance.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean that 90% of us are overweight. It doesn't mean 90% of us are skinny. It just means we look good in our skin.
Yeah.
But because what we see on Instagram and social media doesn't fit that.
You know, you're making me realize everything. What we're really missing is that in between of the real women that look good, but we have a few stretch marks. We have some cellulite because, yes, we're seeing a lot of the fit women. They're OK showing their body in a bikini and they're all fit. It doesn't look like thirsty. You're on a beach in a bikini and you're a fitness instructor. You look great.
Yeah.
But it's like, what about, and then there's the extreme of, oh, body positivity, and there's extreme stretch marks on the stomach, or, you know what I mean? Curvy girls are in now, right? Like, a lot of big companies.
It has to be specifically plus size.
Right, plus, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But that's in a positive light, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
But it is about where is the regular woman? Like, and I don't even just mean curvy, because even some skinny girls don't feel like, oh, I'm skinny. Where is the market for me, right? Yeah, I don't have big boobs or a butt. Yeah. I'm just slim. Where that really used to be the trend, right? So even models are getting boobs now and, like, whatever.
Everyone's getting.
There's no in between with the real, like, everyday women. Like, you go into a mall, if you made those women wear bikinis, that's what's missing on Instagram.
It's true.
A lot of those posts that are proud.
Yeah.
And I think because so many of us on Instagram are regular, we don't post pictures like that, or we're not comfortable doing that. And that just goes with the fact that there's no market there, or we're not being allowed to be proud of being regular, right? We're hiding because we have a little stretch mark.
And we're allowed to be regular when it comes to just buying clothes and finding our size. But when's the last time you've seen a poster, or when's the last time you've seen a celebrity with just a regular body?
I think it's even slowly like happening.
Jordan Sparks. For a long time, she wasn't slim. She was probably one of the closer to
average.
Didn't
she go through a hard time?
Yeah.
I thought people were calling
her.
They
were. That's crazy. And this is the thing. She actually had just a regular body. Like, she wasn't overweight, and she didn't have to be. She was just in her skin.
She was literally a regular person.
Regular human.
A competition show. What more did, you know?
That a regular person. And people essentially body shamed her to the point where she felt she had to be fit.
And she lost weight.
Even if she felt fine.
Yeah.
She had to become a certain fitness.
If it shuts them up, let me just go to the gym.
She had to get to the point where she could wear a belly top. And she had to become that version of herself before it was like, oh, she looks good.
To get your own piece, you kind of become what society wants. Like, yeah. As a celebrity, because there's more pressure, right?
Yeah. But it's like, we need more Jordan Sparks. We need more celebs who look like her. Men are 100% allowed to look like anything.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're not.
Muscular men do get more attention.
They get more attention. Like, for example, one thing I hate about Shade Room, they're always talking about, I don't know if you watch, like, their Thirsty Thursdays.
I love it. It's so fun. They post so much, I can't keep up. Like, I can't even find the story.
Shade Room will post Thirsty Thursdays. And legitimately, the whole conversation will center around, oh, but he's not tall enough. He's not tall enough. He doesn't have a beard. He doesn't have a good job. But a lot of it's like, can you get some tall guys? Can you get some this?
Shallow requests?
It's very shallow requests. But yet everyone in the comments are defending these shallow requests. But on a picture like where a girl is in a swimming suit, probably naked, they're like, can we see more real bodies? So it's like, how are we able to actually fix this if at the same time we're mad when guys are not looking a certain way as women in shade room comments, but we're upset with the way the women are looking? So opposite sex are complaining about not seeing better representation of themselves, but yet in the comments, they only want to see the best representation of the opposite sex.
Could it be because it affects women more? Like, having such an image is so bad on our self-esteem, and we are the more insecure. Not to say men aren't, but we just have that tendency.
Well,
more, and then men aren't really complaining as much, or
I think men kind of get away. Show they'll complain about it as much as women actually do. But I do think men feel insecure no matter what. Yeah. There's, you can't tell me the most, like, all these guys going to the gym or working out hard actually truly love that. Sorry, I hate going to the gym, but like, with the same goal, you see them pushing hard, you see them they never get fit. And it's not that they're a problem. I have no problem with them being what they are, but they're in the gym because they really want to get fit. But will they talk about that with people? They won't. Mm-hmm. It's like guys who have a glow up. They leave school, become super buff, and look amazing. And they're getting attention and stuff like that. But, like, why did you have to do that? I think some will say, I just wanted to feel better.
There's the manly ego, for sure. There's men are, you know, it's not. I'm just saying women, I guess, have more of the tendency
to complain about it, or to say it and then out loud.
It to affect us by the fact that we're not seeing it. So I guess we are trying to just vocalize more. Because it's like, well, hey, I don't want to have to feel bad about myself because I'm seeing all these fake bodies.
But again,
I don't think men are complaining as much.
But I also feel like, remember, they're just really focused on, I want to see the best version of women, or my idea of what a woman should look like. And women are doing the same thing with men. I want to see the idea of what a man should look like. And we're both doing it to each other. And how are we going to
improve? Bodies across the board.
Across the board. We can't male just look for buff men. Like, remember Donnie Savage? Do you remember him?
I do.
Great looking guy, but if he had his shirt on, if his cut wasn't so fresh, we wouldn't pay any attention to him.
I think Donnie Savage is in his glow up. I don't think he was so fresh before his, you know what I mean? So I'm pretty sure he wasn't so Donnie, you know, before
is that his how modeling we say him? Career. Is that how we say his name? Donnie? But yeah.
But the modeling world, speaking of that, has a lot to do with this. It's about who they're paying all these monies. You know, I just made that up. All these monies.
That's not a thing. That's like, not, you know, even
who are
a
they
thing.
Paying this?
Yo, real talk.
Who are they paying this to? And like, you know, oh, it's cheaper to get for samples, right? The runway. That's how it all started. Mm-hmm. I don't want to waste money on all this fabric. So the smaller you are, I'm going to put you on the runway. You know, that's where the designing world came from. And then eventually curves came into play, which is great because I think curves look great in clothes anyway. So it is media has such a big part to play in the mental health aspect of things, and it goes right, and that is in what we see and what is validated, what is approved.
Can we blame media though if we're the ones also playing into it?
But I think media influences it. And that, yeah, like, literally, who's behind media? It's us. It's who's putting this stuff out. Who's saying, oh, this part of the story is juicy. Like, but like, get that coverage, or, you know, make that okay. It's really all us that's controlling everything. Yeah. You know what I mean? So.
And so it's weird because I think this is why systems work so well, because they start it off for us and then we eat it up and believe it. And then we spit it back out to the next generation for them to believe it without realizing we were already conditioned. And then,
tight.
You look like the, thanks. Need a massage. that's one of the things. Yeah, I'm so oh my gosh, she's crazy. But yeah, I feel like we eat it all up and then we reteach it and send it on to our kids.
I'm so excited that I have little blonde highlights.
I realize.
paralyzed. I hope they don't fade too much.
I'm gonna show you this picture now.
Oh my gosh! I'm gonna trickle Dane.
No, she didn't.
I'm gonna tell him I dyed my hair.
She's crazy. Okay, oh, wow. So
I like her body.
I sent this picture. I'm showing Sean a picture on Instagram of a girl who is super big and then slim thick.
Do you think she did this for herself or because people are probably considering her fat?
I was gonna ask you the same question, Shauna.
Well, I think she looks great, to be
honest. She does.
And that's the thing. It could be for yourself because when you look in the mirror, you're like, oh, I look better like this. So I don't have to be a certain way.
So I have a question for a lot of people. I know we all would like to look good in a two-piece, for sure. But at the same time, did you lose weight for the sake of taking a picture in a two-piece to show the world? Or did you actually really? Do it for yourself?
Do you think people would do people do that?
To show the world? Girl, clout. You ain't know about clout?
I'm going on vacation and I'm posting a bikini pic.
I don't think that's me.
It's been like...
Because the other thing too is like, there's two types of bikini pics.
I'm sitting here and I'm saying this. No, it wasn't even really a joke. Wait for it.
This summer 2019, Shauna come true in a two-piece.
I literally never calculated to do that. But sorry, what I'm saying guys. Is I'm not opposed to that. Just knowing like, I don't know.
So then are you going to pose like
that? I know who my followers are. Like, I'm a regular Instagrammer, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what attention could I be doing? I'm not doing it for that.
Okay.
But all I'm saying is I'm open to doing that.
So you'd
and
be
I'm
doing
thinking
it for yourself.
Back to Bahamas, like, for my birth, was it for my birthday? Yes.
Yeah.
Probably 6-7 years ago. That was the last thing on my mind when I took that picture on the beach with O'Dane and I posted it on my Instagram. To me, it's like, look at me in my coconut. I'm on the beach.
Yeah.
It's just a vacation picture is my whole point.
Can you tell the
if
difference?
If that makes sense. But okay. Now it's so like... If I contrived. Post a nice, happy... For me, it's like I'm proud of my body, for one, if I'm willing to be in a two-piece and post it on Insta. So it's like, is it still not a vacation picture? So years later, Instagram has changed. Yeah. Remember, I had like 10 followers those days. It wasn't anything... I didn't know what Instagram would be.
Yeah.
You so weren't now looking it's like, for that. I have to be conscious about that. Is that fair?
It's true, because now you're wondering... So wait, then that spins us overthinking all over again.
Yeah.
Like, okay, people are going to think of it like this. And then are people going to assume I'm trying to do this or looking for followers and clout? Yeah, that's a real possibility. And I think I do that every time I post a picture when I think about like, is this good enough? Is this, oh my gosh, if I like it, okay. But people may not be interested in this kind of picture. And then am I going to change it? I don't necessarily think about it heavily.
So we're posting for other people what Instagram
is. But this is the thing.
Yep.
I think a lot of the time we are now posting for other people. The people who are no longer posting for other people, I feel that genuinely. Like, I can really connect with those pages because I'm like, this is a real person here. Like, I'm seeing them. And this may not be everything in their life, but from what they show, it's more genuine than other pages. Do you ever post for people versus posting for yourself, though?
Whenever I post selfies, I want to make sure I like my face and that it's not weird for someone to say something about. So I guess in that sense, if I feel like my eye looks a little low or like, you know what I mean? One eye looks weird. I'm like, ew, people are going to be like, ew, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Cry, cry.
Because...
But then also that makes me not like the picture because it's like I'm focused on that now or whatever. So if I'm okay with what I see, I put it out there. But yeah, I'm self-conscious of it for sure.
For sure. And so then you're looking at it for other people to a degree.
To a degree, yes.
To a degree.
Yep.
Why do you do that? Like, why did that even become a thing?
I don't know. I guess because it's like. It's also a picture that's on internet. So for me, it's more like if anyone just comes across my page,
like
I want to be
out.
Looking cray cray. Like you can kind of choose your appearance, if that makes sense. If you want to go to the grocery store, no makeup, hair crazy, you're risking seeing someone that matters and feeling like, oh, they're going to be like, she looked jacked up. That's just how we are in life too, right? So I guess for like a social media picture thing, it's like if I'm going to post something, it just better be some of the best or like look good.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. I guess. It's one of those, like, you know, eyes are on. Anyone
can see
or something like that. Why are you laughing so hard?
Because, no, it's funny that you said it's like, if you go out. No, that's true. If you go out, you're going to make sure you look good.
Yeah.
But you're like, if I go out looking cray cray, then, you know, like. Because, I mean, I've taken some crazy pictures and posted on Instagram. And I'm cool with that because I'm like, that's me.
That's awesome.
Like, yeah, that's really me. That's awesome. But then I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I'm like, damn, why did I post
that? You second guess it. You're probably, and you're only, you're fine, but you're wondering, what are people saying? Thinking. Is that what it is?
Yeah. And then other times I'm like, people must think I'm crazy. And I embrace that.
We kind of embrace our crazy, but yeah.
And that's what you got to do.
We also have our moments.
Absolutely. Definitely. So it's like, I think the ultimate goal when it comes to overthinking, mental health, and then balancing stuff like Instagram, balancing the foolishness that goes on and then the superficialness that goes on. Is that even a word?
We make up words, girl.
Excellent.
Yeah, so, the superficialness. Yeah, it's great. Like.
So balancing superficiality. Okay, I'm going with that. All right,
we're done. We're done.
I think the whole bottom line in balancing everything is to really think. Yeah, I think it's time for you to
get
Shauna is going to get a massage. If you are a massage therapist, please reach out to me via DM on Instagram. I will be happy to refer Shauna to you. No. So, anyways, as we're wrapping up today, guys, we're so thankful that you guys have listened to us ramble, rip, and rhyme about life, the gram,
rhyme,
but most
rip and ramble.
She's trying to have the closing thought, but I want to say thank you, Shauna.
How you doing?
Oh, come, this is all calm. What we gave you? Yeah, sorry, okay. Honestly.
Go ahead. Thank truly. You, boo boo. Thanks for having me. Let the cray cray begin when we get off of this thing. Well, yeah. That was nice.
And we are definitely gonna close off with a few final words from yourself, your host, Melissa James. Thank you for tuning in, guys, with Melissa here at... You're really just going to scratch on the mic, bro?
It's winter.
I can hear you. I can hear you scratching your head.
Time.
Bro, guys.
Oh, can you?
We also are calling out any people who have lotion lines with Shauna's dry skin.
Can you hear?
Yes, I can. This is why I'm saying this. Pause on the scratch. Can I finish the show?
Okay, I'm done.
Dutty, do you see that scratch on your side?
Oh, is that ours?
Right yeah, there? Yeah. Oh. See, all the scratching are those bars, okay?
Not as loud as I thought.
Okay, guys, I'm going to really try to close this out. Thank you so much for tuning in to listening to myself and my amazing co-host, Shauna, on today's episode of Focus Pocus by Connect, Create, Explore. We're going to order some food, enjoy it, and fill ourselves up with the deliciousness of... See you next week for the answer to what we ate. Thank you again, and one love. All...